Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am Hellish Sean. This is Devout Thomas. And, ooh, that gold looks nice. Mason. And we played... Dante's Inferno for the PS3.
My eyes. My innocent little eyes.
Oh, yeah. All innocence is gone. All innocence has been taken. So we jumped into 2010's action adventure game, Dante's Inferno, which, whew.
Dante's Inferno is always an interesting. This was my game. Because, of course, it is. It's a God of War ripoff.
Our first God of War ripoff since Ben 10
since
in
Ben
Season 1.
Season 1, yeah. Mm-hmm. The better one.
I would agree.
Yeah, as much as I love that, love the Ben 10 game, I do agree.
Dante's Inferno is an interesting one because it's one of those games that has a massive story both in-game and out of it with the behind-the-scenes stuff. Tons upon tons of controversies. And then nobody remembers it all these years later.
And also with a studio that had done a lot of good, would still do a lot of good, and then get absorbed in the EA monster.
Yay. What a shock. Everybody's favorite EA.
So Dante's Inferno, 2010, as I said, action-adventure game for the PS3, the Xbox 360, and the PSP. As well as I believe it had a PC version.
No, it didn't.
It did not?
No, it did not have a PC
version. It did not. Okay. Well, it did not. It only had the PS3, Xbox 360, and the PSP. And
I can only imagine what playing this on the PSP is like.
Yeah,
greatest of all time? Yes.
Sure. I've actually heard it's not that bad, but I haven't played it for myself.
I mean, both of the PSP God of War games are actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, and they were solid on the PSP. So this game... It's God of War, but through the eyes of a crusader going through the all of the levels of hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess we should get this out of the way. This has jack all to do with the poem.
Oh, yeah, very little.
It's based off the 15th century poem by Dante Alighieri. I think it's 15th century. I could be wrong. Jackal.
You're going to get some poetry diehards shouting at you now.
And you know what? I don't care. it's nothing to do with the poem other than there was a guy named Dante who goes through hell to see his girlfriend Beatrice. That's it.
Yep. I think we'll start off with the story, I think is where we'll start our mission to cover this game, because I think that is the most interesting. And as Thomas said, it's a guy named Dante. He's a crusader. And when he's on the Crusades, he is told by your friendly neighborhood Catholic Church that, hey, don't worry, all your sins are forgiven.
Yep.
Then he dies, and surprise... all his sins were not forgiven.
Remember that thing we said about all your sins being... So, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh.
But like, like anyone would do in this situation, Dante says, well, screw that. I'm going to kill death and I'm going to continue on. And what he does and takes his scythe.
Also sews a tapestry into his skin to represent all of his sins.
And there are many, 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 many sins.
Somehow Dante has committed... one sin for every of the 9 circles of hell in the Crusades.
How lucky. It's been a very short game if he had only had to go through one circle.
Yeah, like he just...
I only jaywalked.
Yeah, like he only took an extra helping at dinner. And it's like, oh, you have to go through gluttony.
He only cursed and said damn.
And so after defeating death and taking his weapon, he goes back home. to be with his lovely Beatrice. What do you mean she's dead?
Yep, and he made a promise to her before he left for the Crusades. I will not forsake our love for anything. But wait, my sins are forgiven. That means I can forsake it, right? Oh no, the devil's taking my girlfriend.
Yep, and...
Imagine getting cucked by the devil. That's again, crazy.
Like anyone would do, instead of just being like, well, you know, this happens. He goes down to hell after her.
As you do.
This guy is like, I love this woman so much, I will go to hell for her.
I made the joke because there's at one point during the like one of the circles where Dante's father shouts at him, is like, what kind of fool would go through hell for a woman? And I went, simp. A simp would do that. All jokes. All
and
jokes.
He proceeds to go through each level of hell.
Confronting his own sins.
Mm-hmm. Each of his sins and the things that he's done on his crusade. Again, a very interesting story, even if it wasn't being told in the overly artistic, the overly grotesque way it is. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Now we add on the imagery that comes with this game and...
These poor guys.
Oh boy!
These guys went into the game blind. I'd played the game before, so imagine their face. For those who've played the game, imagine their face when they saw Cleopatra.
That was the level that I walked in on, and holy crap!
Boobs everywhere, everywhere.
And with people in them,
everywhere.
Babies with scythe hands.
Yep.
In fairness, I think the gluttony level disturbed me more than that, but... The
gluttony level was...
I did not enjoy the stomach stuff.
Not a fan of stomach stuff?
I was not a fan of the stomach stuff.
Raining stomach acid.
Yeah. But each level of hell, it's all designed around a specific sin, and you're going through that with a boss at the end with different puzzles. You're running around with your death scythe and your cross, and you're either, at many points, getting the choice to punish a soul or absolve a soul.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main gimmick of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You choose whether to punish souls, which is send them to super hell, basically, or absolve them, which means to send them up to heaven. You can do this with almost every enemy in the game, but you can also do it with these special super souls, who are various people throughout history.
Well, up till the 15th century.
Right. No.
Do we find Adolf Hitler?
We don't find Hitler, but we do find people from later than the 15th century.
Interesting. Okay.
I forget which ones exactly off the top of my head, but they are there. Or maybe not, and I'm mistaking my timeline. I don't
know. Who knows? But still, like, you know, the first one was Pontius Pilate. Like, that was the first soul that we ran into. So, like, most of it's like that biblical, there's a biblical nature to a lot of it, which is what this game is really leaning into in biblical iconography, but in a very disturbed, messed up way.
This is kind of the predecessor to Blasphemous, what that is nowadays, where it's very much that Christian or Catholic imagery, but just fucked up.
Yeah, specifically Catholic or imagery more than even just basic Christian, but when you put those things on there and put it through the lens of almost horrific and horror aesthetics to it, it's what you get. And boy, is this game horrifying at points.
It's really funny. It's one of those games that's like similar to Doom, where it's like if you know nothing about it, and you see this, and you're a very religious person, you're going to think this is disgusting. But when you actually get into it, you're like, well, you're killing demons, so like, this can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. Again, the whole thing is you're just going through hell, you're slaughtering demons, solving puzzles, doing God of War shit, basically.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest thing about this game is. And they don't hide it one bit. They go, hey, do you like God of War? Cool. We made a God of War.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, I don't want to say copying, but, like, using a style that is done well. It's like, because it's like, oh, this thing is, like, a good thing. I like that good thing. I like this.
Part of me says you can say copy because the developer himself, the head developer himself was interviewed about it. And he was asked, people are calling your game a God of War ripoff. What do you think about that? And he's like, yeah, it is. But you know what? Ripping off God of War is fucking hard, dude.
It does not hide at all that what you are about to jump in is a game that is God of War. Like, that is the exact style that you are playing. Down to the weapon, even though it looks different, is the exact same way that Kratos uses his weapons. Mm-hmm. The puzzles, the way you spin when you're doing different puzzles and you're spinning things around, that's a God of War mechanic.
The right analog stick, not being your camera, but being your dodge.
Mm-hmm. There's no camera movements, which, boy, that threw Mason off.
Yeah.
A cliff a couple of times.
I was going to say that. Damn it. Beat me to it. Threw me off the edge of the platform so many times.
And again, that's not a negative for this game.
Oh, no.
Calling it a blatant copy of God of War is actually because instead of just copying, a lot of times you'll see games that we'll talk about copying a game entirely are usually some, you know, third party making a quick license cash grab. That's not what this is.
No. Visceral, yes, the developer of this studio was Visceral. So if you want to know why Hell's really horrific, one, it's Hell. Two, the Dead Space people made the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Visceral knew what they were doing. Visceral had a vision here. It was a vision that was changed, but it was a vision. Mm-hmm. And they followed it through.
And you know, this game very much embodies what God of War was when it came out, but it also, boy, does it look good.
It does.
For 2010, really this does. Game looks pretty phenomenal.
This game looks amazing. And, I remember playing the original God of War on the PS2. I remember when it came out. I have the original demo disc that I got with one of like the PlayStation magazines that I used to get for God of War. And I remember playing that on the PS2. And oh my gosh, that's amazing! Now you go back, it still looks good, but it's a PS2 game.
Yeah, it's a good
boy. You boot this game up, and it's literally like you're playing God of War, the original God of War, but in just gorgeous graphics.
Mm. It's very funny that we can say this game looks hideous and gorgeous in the same place.
Yes.
But that's what it is, ultimately.
Graphics are amazing and gorgeous and unbelievable. And what those graphics are portraying is hideous and terrifying and the stuff of nightmares.
Yes, this game is really fantastic at showing you really horrific things. It's a similar compliment that I gave the sound design, that it is really, really fantastic at being hideously grotesque. Like, it's... Ugh.
Yep. Going through how there's constant screaming of agony, the wet sounds,
some of the wet sounds are just, I hate, grotesque. I didn't enjoy, the sound design is fantastic.
Some top notch.
Mm-hmm. Like from the sounds of the enemies, from the groans of the damned, from, just weird noises that are made throughout it. And you're like, yep. Someone had to go make those noises.
It's the same as like watching like a really horrific horror movie where you're like, this is all done really, really well. For the love of God, get it away. I don't want to look at it anymore. Yes, make this wonderfully made thing stop.
Never once did this game ever try to A, censor itself, or B, get a lower than the highest possible rating you can get.
Yeah. No. And you know... Even though it is like that, it never felt like it was being edgy for edginess's sake.
No, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like it never felt like it was like, oh, we're doing it, we're pushing the boundaries because we're trying to be cool in it. No, that it's just that's the style that they wanted to portray,
yeah.
And they did it in a really, it's funny to say this, but I think they did it in a very tasteful way.
Mm-hmm.
It did really untasteful things in a very tasteful manner, I think.
And I mean, yeah, there's some over-the-top stuff. Again, Cleopatra's boss fight, her nipples are horrifying.
Yeah.
And then creatures climb out of them.
Yep, and tongues.
And acid.
I'm never going to sleep again.
But again, all that can kind of be counteracted with, well, it is Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are taking... the horrific side of the of religion in a lot of ways, especially when you have a any religion that espouses a heaven and hell, good and a bad, the evil side of that, what hell is and how it has been described, especially if you look back in the 13th, 14th, 15th century, when a lot of our hell imagery comes from that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is, whoa, boy.
It's very, yeah.
It's disturbing, and I will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
It never feels over the top.
No. I think it does feel like over the top, but in the way you want it to feel over the top.
Yeah, that is true.
If it didn't, it would feel like they were half-assing it at some point.
That's fair.
It would feel censored, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is something they don't do at all. While we talk about how good the graphics are, an interesting decision that they made is they didn't really try to go super realistic on the human models. They don't. The mouths open really, really wide. They kind of in the cutscenes they kind of flop around everything. They weren't worried about realism necessarily on that aspect. The game feels very realistic in a lot of ways, but in their cutscenes they weren't worried about it. It feels more cartoony in essence.
And I think that makes sense because you can't really have these realistic people doing these kind of moves Dante does, jumping 20 feet into the air to spike someone down, or literally uppercutting a demon and then ripping him in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that they weren't super worried about, it feels like. And they weren't super worried about when they did cutscenes. Like, cutscenes were very, like, okay, that's going to be cool, all that. But the cool stuff is more what you're going to be doing with the controller in your hand.
Yes.
We're not worried about showing you cool things or anything like that. We're going to let you do the cool things.
There are, we didn't play too far into the game. We got to the Circle of Greed and stuff because we were on a time limit. But there is a couple jaw-dropping cinematics later on in the game, but even then, the coolest stuff you do is still the gameplay, which is what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
But it is a game that is crafted quite well. Mentioning the sound design, but in that same sort of breath, the voice acting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Graham McTavish is the man who does Dante's voice, and I love this man's performance as Dante. He perfectly captures a more sympathetic version of older Kratos, if that makes any sense, where he's a very shouty, very angry man, but he's going for his redemption, so there's a lot of room to play up the more sympathetic sides of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because in the story, the story that they're crafting here, Dante is a very flawed person who did go off to the Crusades, killed a ton of people, drank, had sex, did whatever, you know, everything they get out there to break every sin possible.
Because he thought he was going to be
absolved. And in that, he is a character that, while going through hell, he's like, well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And that's where the growth of the character is as he gets to the end and moves forward. Is it goes, oh yeah, hey, it's my fault.
It's my fault.
And we missed the reveal because, again, it happens later on. But early on, Dante takes a sexual favor from a prisoner to let her and her brother go. That wasn't her brother. That was her husband. And her husband was the one who killed Beatrice and his father.
Damn.
So that's what really breaks Dante, and he's like, I caused all this. I am responsible for all this.
Which
I
is
am the bastard.
Part of in playing it, and you're playing these grotesque things, you're doing the, you know, you're in hell, you're running around, you're ripping things apart, you're just going through it. But what I think holds the game together and keeps it from just being mindless is that story, is that redemption that you're building to, is keeping you looking at these, you know, being a part of this and not being just like desensitized to it, is understanding that he is also not me. He is going through this, and by the end he is learning, oh, kind of my fault.
Oh no, I did that.
That was me.
That was my fault. I think that's kind of the big thing throughout all of it. And Graham McTavish does a great job. Like, he is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Although all the voice actors are good.
All the voice actors are good.
Sticks out.
Yeah, Graham McTavish sticks out because he's the main character. You spend the most time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Who is it in there that was voice that Dee Bradley Baker did the voice for?
He was early on. He was Death.
He was Death. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered you saying that, and I was like,
yeah, he did good.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly enough, the animated movie, because yes, there's an animated movie based off this.
This was they were going to do so many things with
they
this.
They went all in on the marketing for this.
Mm.
To the point where they even were going to spend more money, and Graham McTavish was not going to be Dante. It was going to be Oscar Isaac as Dante in the original pitch. But it was Oscar Isaac who was going to play Dante.
Which would have been like Oscar Isaac, like way pre-fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because mm-hmm. like we said, this was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And they had so much planned. They had the animated movie, which did happen, but they mm-hmm. had a live action movie that was going into production, early pre-production type of thing.
Which would have been very funny if Oscar Isaac played Dante in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it would.
They had tons of different marketing ploys, including fake games and different things.
Fake games, sending out presents to video game journalists.
I saw one of the things that they sent out to some game journalists was a box, mm-hmm. and when you opened it up, it would just play Never Gonna Give You Up on repeat, and the only way that you could stop it was by destroying it.
Yeah, it was by breaking it with a hammer to where there would be a piece of paper in it. Congratulations, you've committed the sin of a wrath.
Yes.
Beautiful. They were devoted very much to this being kind of their big franchise. I know they did have a canceled game that didn't happen, but it was they really devoted everything to this.
Yes.
And it does show in the game. Unfortunately, while the game isn't a flop, it was not the success they were hoping for.
It didn't meet expectations.
It's absolutely not a flop. It did well enough, but it is not the era-defining success that they were absolutely thinking they were about to get.
No, it is. And because of that, the sequel, Dante's Purgatory, was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they were working on it for a while, at least long enough so that they had an idea of what they wanted to do, but it was canned.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks because this game does end on a cliffhanger. So
they did add DLC stuff to the game, including a entry prologue level that was based on the Divine Comedy that had Dante meeting Virgil. You had things like that. There were alternate costumes they added. They did a lot still of stuff with it. Co-op play was added.
There's even a lot of stuff in the base game. You mm-hmm. can read the entire poem of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, so they did a lot with it. There is a partnership they had with GameStop that was a one-day promotion that you could pre-order the game for $6.66.
Of course there was.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did a lot of things.
You know, maybe that's why they didn't make that much goddamn money off of it.
They might not have. They sent out checks for $200 to video game critics and saying that, you know, hoarding wealth feeds one beast and squandering it satiates the other. By cashing your check, you succumb to avarice. By hoarding filthy, but not by cashing it, you waste it and thereby surrender.
Yep. And one of my favorite reactions to that was one game journalist just went, okay, and he burned the fucking check.
Damn. They made a fake game to market this.
Yep, they did so much. Like, and unfortunately some of this, and again, you're making a hard M-rated game. You're not worried about the faith-based audience. You're not worried about the Christian audience. But this game did get boycotted a lot by that side of...
It got boycotted too, because it was another marketing stunt.
Yep.
But it also got real boycotted.
It's just, if any of these people like actually played the game, I think they would understand it more.
Probably, but you know, but since when have people who boycott video games actually played the video?
I was going to say, I'm asking a lot from these. I'm asking them to understand the thing they're boycotting, and that might be a little tough.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think this game was destined to fail, but they did so much so fast that it is kind of like you were kind of putting a lot of eggs in one basket.
All right, would you like to hear about Hawk Panther?
What is that?
So they created a fake commercial for a fictional company called Hawk Panther. which told viewers to visit the Hawk Panther website in order to be able to steal their best friend's girlfriend.
What?
If the link to find out more about Hawk Panther systems is clicked, a message appears stating, "Treachery, thou art condemned to the ninth circle. Thou hast broken the bonds of trust with thy kindred."
That is incredible.
And then you could, the site would show you a trailer for the game and a link to buy it.
That's hilarious.
Speaking of trailers, this game had a Super Bowl commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which Super Bowl exactly.
Super Bowl, let's see if I can do Roman numerals, 44.
I think that sounds right, because I remember...
XLIV, 44, yeah.
So the trailer... Fun fact, that's what introduced me to the game, because it's a good trailer. What did you see?
So the trailer, which I have not actually watched, I should have watched it before it. Unusual use of the Bill Withers song "Ain't No Sunshine" in the trailer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to look up this trailer.
According to EA product manager Phil Marinou, the decision to air the ad was to concentrate on a more solid titles that they can break through to the masses. Wild that this game got one.
Yeah.
Say it again. This game, we all really enjoyed this game. So, like, it was well reviewed. Looks like its lowest scores are 6s out of 10s. It's got a few 9 out of 10s. Its Metacritics are 70s across the board, 70 on the PSP, 73 Xbox 360, and 75 on PS3.
Okay.
So, you know, it was probably never going to be a 10 out of 10 simply because it is just a God of War ripoff.
Yeah. I am wondering.
But it is a fun God of War ripoff. So that's why I think 7 is probably the best score for it.
I am wondering, though, how long after God of War 3 did this come out?
It came out before God of War
3. Oh, yeah. It came out
a couple months before God of War
3. So it came out in the middle of God of War's original run.
Which is another reason this game didn't do that.
I was going to say, this game waited at least a few years after... like that cycle of God of War, I think it would have been received a little better.
So who wants to hear about the controversy on this game?
There's plenty.
So in 2009, it was announced that there would be a trophy on both things that would be called Bad Nanny, which awarded the players for killing monsters that resembled children. They are supposedly the lost souls of unbaptized infants. This sparked a conflict with the International Nanny Association, in which they encouraged supporters to oppose the game. The INA claimed that the achievement is offensive to real nannies and that it also promotes real-life violence. The INA asked the Entertainment Software Rating Board, ESRB, to omit the reward and elements of infant violence. The ESRB insisted that its role was merely to label products appropriately, not to censor them. So their request could not be met.
People misunderstanding the ESRB, whoa. Shocking.
There was other controversy, but this time with poem enthusiasts, because literature enthusiasts hated the idea of this game. Because in the original poem, Dante's just a guy. He's just a guy who walks through hell, Virgil by his side. It's not even really to save his girlfriend. Beatrice actually saves him in the poem, technically. Which, again, pissed a lot of people off because they saw the trailer and just assumed Beatrice is a basic damsel in distress. So, yes.
Not quite, but...
No, not quite. In fact, there's an argument to be made that she planned most of this, but...
Dante has also made an appearance in a different game later on.
Is it PlayStation?
Dante appears as a playable character in the PSP version of Army of Two, The 40th Day. Unlockable after finishing the game by always making morally bad choices.
How would that even work?
It's just a skin, probably.
It's probably just a skin. Because I was going to say, Army of Two is like that's a first-person shooter.
Third-person
shooter, rather. My bad.
So if you only make the bad choices, you get the guy who got...
You get the guy that got sent to hell. That's funny.
Again, there is a impact that this game had. It was not the... I think the Visceral Studios and EA thought this was going to be...
Huge.
Their God of War.
Yes.
Spawning sequels, being Dante was going to be an impact, a character that would be in
the great pantheon.
Yeah, of characters.
Yeah.
And it would be talked about on tons and tons and tons of shows, and there'd be a huge franchise, and not on a little stupid podcast here that is talking about games.
And it goes back to the thing that I said earlier, that is that if this wasn't in the middle of God of War's current three-game cycle, it would have benefited from that.
It is interesting, because it is so close to God of War's gameplay. Yeah, I think that maybe is why some of the reviews weren't like as quite as glowing in points. But also, it wouldn't be the first time that a game took a gameplay and tried to perfect it and tried to do it. I don't know if it perfected God of War, the original God of War trilogy's gameplay.
Not really. For me, God of War 3 is pretty much perfected God of War combat.
Mm-hmm. The combat in God of War 3 is great. But it also, in 2010, by this point, there's also the problems with some of the God of War games. The camera and things like that, they are leaning full into as well, that we know existed at that point. Yeah. It is absolutely a very interesting decision to fully lean in just into God of War. There are their own touches with specifically with the skill trees and how you absolve versus punish people. Those are all different things that they leaned into, but I don't think they're enough to really differentiate it, that you could honestly have thrown Kratos in this and it would be pretty much the exact same game.
Yeah.
Kratos goes to hell.
He does every game anyway. It's interesting because that's not what this game started out as.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, it started out as kind of a narrative adventure game that was even more emphasized the horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it went big on horror.
Mm.
But EA saw that money in their eyes, and they're like, hey, can you make it a God of War clone? They're like, okay.
And sure. I think that is the big point kind of on this, is the game is successful. We enjoyed it. It is worth, especially if you have a strong enough stomach, it is worth your time. But I wonder how much of this game at times, and we see with Visceral Studios, we know what happened less than a decade later when they were gone, how much of this was EA needs their type of games.
Yeah.
We need games that, and you even heard it in the Super Bowl, they want it to appeal to the masses. They want games that the masses, and again, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad game. Game that every single person can play and wants to play isn't necessarily going to be a bad game. But we know that was EA's big thing, especially going on, is we need, this needs to be in every house. We need a new version and new this and new this, and we're going to just keep milking money out of them left and right.
That's such an insane policy to have for this game, especially where you are in hell. That's a weird thing to push us for this game where you're in hell the whole time to be the big game. That's an uphill battle.
I know that Thomas isn't the hugest fan of moral choices in a game. But it does feel like with the idea of to absolve versus punish, it feels like more, and again, you're getting more points, you decide how your skill tree, it does feel like you're maybe about story things, but definitely creating something specific combat-wise or look-wise or decision-making. There is the system set up, it seems like, that they were going to go maybe with more moral choices. But that wouldn't necessarily be an in mass type game usually.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not crying over it. I don't really like moral choices that often in games because they're usually badly done. Even in good games, they're usually badly done.
We run into the problem consistently with, and Thomas and I talked about this a lot at the beginning of the game. Run into a lot of problem with games that do the moral choices. The KOTORs, even the early Fables, although Fable does it a lot better, that you get to the final choice. And whether that's good or bad, that determines whether you were good or bad. Whatever you did the whole game doesn't matter. That final choice is all that matters.
You can be super Hitler throughout the whole game, but if you make one good choice at the end, oh, you're the good guy.
We call this pulling a Mass Effect 3.
Yep. A lot of the BioWare games that did the choices, that happened a lot with a lot of those. I said Fable is a little better at that sort of thing, but it still runs into some of those flaws. Again, this game isn't like hurting for moral choices, but it does feel like they were maybe looking into that and maybe thinking about how to institute that, and maybe that was something they were going to maybe look more into the future games.
Maybe.
Depending on how the games play, because it it sounds like the sequel was not going to be the same style of game.
The sequel was not literally going to be the same style of game. It was going to focus a lot on climbing, almost Assassin's Creed-esque. And the combat was going to be a lot more grounded. So.
Which made me think, like, I wonder if they're a franchise, again, you'd have, it's impossible because of the amount of games and how much games cost, but a franchise that each game, the style of game is dependent on what ring of hell you're in.
It'd be like what they were trying to do with the movie.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, like, you know, okay, so I'm greed, so maybe in this level it's more of a, like, collectathon, like, you know, collectathon platformer, you know, oh, we're in lust and all those sort of things. Ah, this is a dating sim, you know? but there are ideas in this, and again, this game, I think, where it doesn't bring any original ideas necessarily in the gameplay of it, it does very much in the story and the way they presented it. And so that's the big thing for it, is like maybe the way EA dictated things, and it seems like they did, that they were kind of, all right, we're making a God of War game. That's what we're sticking it to it, and we're going to make it the best we can. But they had a lot of creativity and uniqueness in the style that they crafted.
Absolutely. I do think it'd be interesting to see it, like what they could do with this game if it wasn't a God of War clone. Even though as is, it is fantastic.
Oh yeah, it is. It is.
I do wonder what it would be like if they had even more creative control.
Mm-hmm. Which unfortunately, EA, especially post 2010 EA. and unfortunately that Visceral Studios would make them a bunch of money and some big hits, and they'd say, bye bye.
Yeah.
Yep.
RIP Visceral Studios.
Rest in spaghetti.
But on this podcast, we ask two important questions of every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
Yes.
I think it holds up pretty well.
Yes.
I think it really does. I mean, I mentioned kind of the camera flaws that exist in the God of War games, but yeah, at this point, if you've played God of War games and you've gone into this game, you know that's a thing you just have to adjust to.
Yeah, that's just a thing of this style.
And any game, hack and slash games do have a tendency to hold up pretty well. Like, just have a tendency to hold up, because a lot of the game is button, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. And it does, with the difference of enemies, and as you go through the skill tree, does help you variate how your attacks are going to be. And so I think that helps it play with replayability, because you can do it things slightly differently with the way you fight enemies and things like that.
It was also really good at and I've never really played a hack and slash that's done this good with it. It's really good at balancing the platforming elements. Like, that was something that I noticed. I don't know if I said in the episode, but about Ben 10 we brought up earlier, that like the platforming elements are just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really do much for the game. But in this, they're really well.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot.
There were moments where we all proved how good and / bad we are at platforming.
You didn't have to say that. Nobody would have known.
That were very funny.
You just said we're the greatest at platformers.
They know we're not.
I was going to say they know we're not. We're lying.
Mason really wants to get into one of those rings of hell. He's like, just...
I could be Dante.
No.
Go to Cleopatra. Open up.
Oh, no.
I think the game holds up pretty well from both a control point, from a graphical point. I mean, the PS3 has some games that graphically didn't hold up as well in the early age, but this looks good.
Yeah, for sure.
This looks real good. They cut corners in certain places to make everything else look good, and that's perfectly fine. That's, I think, why it ages so well.
We don't need a 300-gigabyte hack and slash. We're fine.
By cutting corners
that takes 8 years to develop.
Some of the souls we saw, like, are kind of like the EA Sports games crowd graphics, making not worried as much about the realistic models. They can be more cartoony, so you're spending more time making sure your environments feel great and they look great.
Yeah, we don't need 300 pixels in the damned soul that you're climbing on top of. You don't need that.
It was they did a very good job of making a game that is graphically awesome, but was in a way that it would hold up really well for years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we all agree, holds up.
Yes.
The second question we ask of every game that we play, would you like to see a remake or a reimagining of this game in a modern setting?
1,000,000% yes. I think 1,000,000% yes.
This is going to be odd for me. I don't really know if I want a remake.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is a PC port. I think putting
a Steam port.
Yeah, I think putting this on PC, putting it on Steam would help. But honestly, what I want most is that fucking sequel.
Yeah.
I want Dante's Purgatory. I want to see the story of this version of Dante continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's me. That's me personally. What I most want. Would I take a ground-up remake? Hell the fuck yeah.
I don't even think necessarily needs a ground-up remake. It's the same thing that I've thought I would like if they wanted to almost, you know... I've mentioned this with the original God of War games. I would like an almost Crash Bandicoot Spyro-esque, you know, exact same game, just taken up the new levels.
Modern
graphics the way they are, things like that. Again, you know, that would be pretty cool, you know, even if you leaned more into some of the cartoony nature of the characters actually in it, of your main characters and all the sort of things, that'd be fine to make it kind of look the way it is. But I will also, again, a HD remake or remat, you know, that just sits there, you know, allows me to play it. If Sony wants to, you know, actually do the PS3 backwards compatible that we keep hearing about, that would be rad. It apparently is backwards compatible on the Xbox Series X.
Yes, it is.
With the 360, so that's cool. And so, again, this game is available, and it is playable, but making it more available is kind of the thing I think for it. Like, it doesn't – story-wise, it really doesn't need a remake outside of trying to get more audiences. But in the end, I feel like that would just be a where a studio would spend a lot of money, put a lot of passion into it. It wouldn't sell quite well, and it wouldn't work out. Like, that's kind of what I feel. So just putting it in into a more of like an HD remaster type of thing was what I would like.
I would just love anything more from this. Mm-hmm. Ground up remake, an HD port, mm-hmm. a sequel. Hell, I would take a party game for crying out loud. I just want more of this.
I am terrified of what the party game is. Welcome to hell, guys. You get to party here. It's Fall Guys. There's a level where there's a thing spinning around. We joked it was Wipeout, but is it just Fall Guys?
Yeah, only instead of falling into the sludge, you just get impaled.
I just think there, the ability to play it, throw it on the PlayStation Store, or as I said, hopefully that PS3 backward compatibility rumor is real.
Yeah, hopefully.
I've heard it too many places, so hopefully I'm not dating myself by saying this. but I would really love to be able to have it more accessible.
To have it more widely available.
Mm-hmm, because it does embody the God of War gameplay that is really fun to play, and mm-hmm. those are very readily available.
Yeah.
And so maybe putting this in that same around and be like, hey, you like the God of War games, play this. But be over the age of 18, please.
For the love of God.
Don't give it to your children.
No.
Hey, have you read this poem? I bet this video game would be good for you.
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
But yeah, that's Dante's Inferno. That was a really interesting game to play and go about and talk about. So glad that we could jump into it. Thank you, Thomas.
Yes, thank you.
But...
don't worry, we'll watch the movie soon.
What do you guys think? Well, let us know. Send us an email, bleepyouplane@gmail.com. Whatever opinions you have on this game, the God of War games, the Dante's Inferno.
Inferno?
Yeah, Inferno. It's the porno version. Dante's Inferno.
That's the opening clip.
Animated movie. Let us know. Send us an email. We'd love
poem.
To hear about it. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on
Inferno? Have you
read it? it's not delivery. It's Dante's Inferno.
And if you'd like us to play a game, you can make us do it. $15 a month over on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. You can tell us to play a game. We'll play it, record an episode. Or if you don't want to do that, but you really want to make Mason eat some Burger King, you can also do that. That tier is still available.
Are you fucking serious?
And we'll be back with a finale. A finale unlike any other. A finale that is going to rock.
Burn it.